through Israel, through Jesus, all the nations will be blessed. And now the Gentiles are allowed to be grafted back in, come into the covenant promises that God had made with Abraham, with David. That's what we get to be grafted into. We get to be grafted into that storyline. Mm-hmm. We get to be grafted into that promise, grafted into that redemption, and what a Jewish man has done, Jesus mm-hmm. has done.
You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to today's episode. I'm your host, Matthew Lilly, and I'm here with my wife, Shepherd. And we're going to be talking today about what it means when the Bible talks about being grafted into Israel. What did that mean in the Bible in Romans 11? What does that mean practically? Because you can actually graft plants together. And you know some about that. We're going to learn some about that and what that means. And maybe how that helps us to understand better the imagery that Paul's using in Romans 11 here and what that has to do with our lives. It's going to be a fun, deep episode. Stay tuned. Hey, if you're a part of the podcast community, a regular here, thank you for being with us. Thank you for liking, subscribing, commenting, sharing, all the things that you do, sending this to friends, sharing the episodes. We really appreciate it. We love hearing feedback from you. If you're, you know, listening in on Apple or Spotify, leaving us a rating, all those things are super helpful. Thank you so much. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We want to help you to experience and host more of God's presence. We believe God's presence changes everything. So we release teachings and interviews and conversations, mostly about worship and prayer and revival and missions. And so if you're a worshiper, an intercessor, a leader, you're going to really love this podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe. And we want to just help you and resource you in your pursuit of the Lord. So let's dive into today's episode. I'm excited to talk about grafting.
Can't wait.
We actually recorded this entire episode and had a technical glitch. So we're going to try it again.
We're going to do it. It's going to be great. And we're going to graft this into the season.
Something like
and
that.
Make it fit.
There you go. Before maybe you talk about how to graft something in, maybe I can read the scripture.
Definitely, yeah.
It's kind of a long passage, but Romans 11, I think you have to kind of get the full context here. So I'm going to start at verse 11, and I'm going to go all the way down to 26. So Paul says, "So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I'm speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch, then, as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Verse 17, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root who supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That's true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of God. It goes on, severity to those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted back in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off by what is nature, a wild olive tree, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back in to their own olive tree? Okay, so that's a long passage, but it's talking about grafting. And so kind of big picture is Paul's talking to Jews and Gentiles, and he's saying, Gentiles, you have been grafted into Israel. That's kind of the essence of what he's saying. And he's saying that some of Israel has been broken off of Israel, so to speak, the tree of life. So Do you want to share first about what grafting is, or do you want me to kind of give a little bit of biblical context for what's going on here?
I can share a little bit, sure more will pop up as you give context. Yep. The point of grafting, the reason it exists and is a thing that happens, is because there are different varieties of the same type of plant that serve different purposes and flourish in different settings. And so one of the really common ones around here is apple trees, because there's maybe two varieties of apple trees that actually do well in our climate. In the mountains, it's a different story. North Carolina mountains have really lovely apple orchards, and it's wonderful and perfect. We, to reiterate from a previous episode, live in an actual swamp, and that's
Eastern North Carolina.
That is not a natural setting for an apple tree. They're very prone to diseases and things. So what people will do is they will take the root stock, which is what it sounds like. It's the root ball and then like a stick, a trunk coming up of one of the varieties that grows well here, but maybe isn't the flavor, like, isn't that great. It's more of a storage apple, you know, that you throw in a cellar and are thankful you're not starving in the winter when you go get it. But it's not one that you want to like celebrate by making a lovely pie out of. And they will graft on branches of the variety of apple tree that they like, that they want to actually have the fruit of. So the roots that are in the ground that are interacting with the environment directly are the kind that are made to be there and are healthy and will flourish and keep the tree healthy. But then the branches that produce the fruit are of the other kind. That's what the gardener was after. The point of grafting, it's not just a, if you start looking up grafting on like YouTube, especially, like people get weird and graft like apples and plums and cherries, like all onto the same tree.
Right.
So that they can be like, oh, look, if you move my camera around this way, it's this thing. And like, yes, that is a thing that people do and can do successfully. And like my creative side thinks that's real fun. And like, I could probably get real into that. I've never messed with grafting because I just grow what grows well here, and I've completely given up on apples, and I'm just okay with that in my spirit. So like you can get lost in the like, why do people even do this? What is grafting?
Yeah.
But the purpose of it originally was I want to be like, he says, it's a wild olive shoot.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, a wild olive shoot is going to, it's going to be able to produce fruit and, you know, things like that, but it might not be the, rootstock might not be as sturdy as it gets bigger. Wild things tend to be a little wispier and things like that. And so if you graft it onto a solid root stock, it can stay alive longer and, you know, be more of a perennial thing and not like a seasonal, like shoot up and get mowed down, shoot up, get mowed down.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's cool. So that's the picture of what Paul's using here, talking about being grafted in.
That's why you graft.
Yeah.
Not necessarily how, but why.
How, but yeah. So why? I'm going to give a little bit of theological context here. Why are the Gentiles being grafted into Israel? And the redemption story in the Bible, the kind of the big picture narrative, is obviously man fell into sin. God made a promise to Abraham that through his family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, made a covenant with Abraham. It was a unconditional covenant and promised that that would be the case, that Abraham's descendants would have the promised land and that they would be a blessing to the nations. And God did that through his descendants. It became Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob became Israel, the 12 tribes, and God's promise continued. There was a temporary covenant God had made with Israel. So we're talking about covenants here. These are promises. There was Abraham's covenant, unconditional, Moses's covenant, which was conditional. And so that was temporary with just the people of Israel. That was what we call the old covenant that God made with them. And then God made a covenant with David that was also unconditional, that kind of expounded upon Abraham's. It said there's going to be a specific king that would come, and he would be the one that would help lead the fulfillment of this promise that through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed and basically redeem humanity. And so when you get to the time of Jesus, they're looking for a Davidic king. They're looking for someone that's going to fulfill that promise and thinking that it's going to be, you know, the Jewish king for the Jewish people. And in some ways forgetting that this is for the nations, that this is for all people to be blessed. And so what begins to develop, though, is through the prophets, even before Jesus came around, was this idea of a remnant. Mm-hmm. And so the prophets started speaking, giving them some heads up, like, hey, just because you're Jewish, just because you have Israeli blood, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get in on the promises, because if you don't have faith, if you don't believe God's word, you've cut yourself off from these promises and these covenants. And it doesn't mean God's not going to be faithful to Abraham, but it does mean that people are going to not be a part of what God has promised, even those who by blood are Jewish. And so that's why Paul gets to Romans 9 through 11, he's talking about all this, and he says, not all Israel is Israel. And so he's basically saying, hey, just because you're a Jew by blood doesn't necessarily mean you're a Jew if you don't believe, if you didn't trust the Messiah. And so those before Jesus were looking forward for a Messiah, the one who, the Davidic one who would come and fulfill God's promises. And now we look back, so to speak, at what Jesus has already done for us as our Savior and our Messiah. And it was through faith, right? Hebrews 11 talks about those who had faith even before Jesus came. So it was by faith, and those who believed were part of the olive tree, the natural olive tree. Those who did not believe, Paul says, were broken off because of their unbelief. But the remnant is the tree that remains. And then he's saying, now, through Israel, through Jesus, all the nations will be blessed. And now the Gentiles are allowed to be grafted back in, come into the covenant promises that God had made with Abraham, with David. That's what we get to be grafted into. We get to be grafted into that storyline. We get to be grafted into that promise, grafted into that redemption, and what a Jewish man has done, Jesus has done for us. And so that's the story we get to get grafted into, the promises we get to get grafted into. And we are the wild olive shoot, those of us who are Gentiles. Who are not a part of ethnic Israel, we are the wild ones that get grafted into, what did you call it? The root?
Rootstock.
Rootstock.
Yeah.
Of believing Israel, the remnant of Israel that were stayed in faith and stayed in belief about God's promise and about his word and what he was going to do.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts?
It's just, once you've grafted something, like, I think once before I used the example of roses. Roses are something that get grafted a lot because people want a specific type of bloom or color or something. But again, depending on what climate you're selling them in, like some varieties are much hardier and able to take a lot more abuse, but their blooms aren't as pretty. So they will make that the rootstock and then graft on the pretty blooms that are divas to grow normally. It makes it a little easier to grow. But if you, with the grafted rose, you'll be able to see, if you look at it, the graft point where you can tell that they were not, they did not grow naturally that way. And if you let any shoots come off underneath that graft point, it won't look like the rose you want it to look like. It'll look like the rootstock rose.
The original
rose.
One.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that always makes me think of the shoot off the, is it the stump of Jesse?
Yeah.
Because that's like the original rootstock. And so like the shoot that comes off from there under where it was cut to graft, anything that grows underneath that is going to be that original rootstock that looks like the parent plant. So that's, is that, I mean, just thinking about David and Jesus, like, you know.
Hey guys, this is Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider joining Presence Pioneers Premium, our brand new subscriber community. Paid subscribers will get exclusive premium content such as bonus podcast episodes, exclusive articles, early releases, and more. Presence Pioneers will be releasing its first e-course in 2024 with many more to come. And the Presence Pioneers premium subscribers will always have full access to the entire library of online courses. visit media.presencepioneers.org or click the link in the description to join today. You can become a premium member today for an introductory price of only $5 a month. When the price goes up in the future, as our library of resources grows, you can stay subscribed at the original price. If you've enjoyed our podcast for a while, becoming a premium member is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this podcast and partner with Presence Pioneers in equipping the church with resources for day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
We always do the Jesse tree as part of our Christmas with the kids every year. And that's the whole story of the Jesse tree is that it was cut and the shoot, you know, came up on the side.
And you talked about before about the preparation for the grafting. That in many ways you have to prune the original or cut it down. I was going to read this verse real quick and then let you talk about it. Jeremiah 5:10, he says, go up through her vine rows and destroy, but make not a full end. I love that. Strip away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. So he's basically saying God's going to come through the vine and he's not going to totally destroy it, but he's going to strip it all away. He's not going to make an end to it, but he's basically going to wipe it out to where it's like hardly there anymore. And this is really God judging unbelieving Israel. And he's saying, don't totally wipe it out because there's always that remnant. There's always those who still believe, that still have faith. And that's going to continue to be there. And out of that is where Jesus is going to come. But yeah, I can't help but think about this when you're talking about the preparation for grafting and that rootstock, you know?
Right. That's what I always try to encourage people when you start getting into pruning, or if one of the things that we like to do here is have our pepper plants go dormant over the winter and then keep them out of the frost so that they can come back in the spring and you can have pepper bushes instead of the little pepper plants, you know?
Yeah.
And people are always like very nervous. And same with pruning roses. People like, I love dealing with roses partly because they need to be pruned so much. And so it's just always something fun to do. But people are always worried that they're going to kill whatever it is that they're pruning back because it does look brutal. And I think I used the example last time of when we helped our friends prune their grapevines back. Because we all now have little baby grapevines because, of course, we just got excited and started planting grapevines. And we got some grapes this year. So he was going to teach us how to prune his grapevines because they're old and they're well established. And we were terrified that we were killing this plant and that nothing, like we were going to do it wrong. And he was going to get no grapes the following year and be upset with us that we pruned his grapes too harshly. And he kept walking through and being like, no, no, you got to cut it back more than that. You got to cut it back more than that. And so then the following summer when it started setting fruit and turned into this big lush vine, you know, every time we went by him, he's like, you see how good my grapes look? Like, I told you, you weren't going to kill them. So it is anytime you're pruning something back to let it go dormant, which is what, when you prune grapevines, when you prune everything off of them, it's to let it go dormant, not dead, but dormant. It looks dead. It looks like you're killing it. It looks like you're hurting the plant. And if you're going to graft, you have to prune back the plant, because when you do that, it signals to the plant to strengthen the roots. And if it's in the right season, which we talked about once before, it signals to it to push out more growth hormones at the places where you cut it. So when you make the cut, you have to cut the host plant and take off the branch that was going to grow there that looked like it. And essentially, then you cut a branch off whatever the other thing is you want to graft in. It's called the scion, S-C-I-O-N. And you have to cut the bark off that piece on both sides so that the inner fleshy part of it is showing, and slit the branch that you cut, that you pruned off on the host plant, and basically fit them together and then wrap them in something to not like to let it like heal together. And essentially it heals around that. And they were both cut to signal like, this is where you need to grow now, this place where I just cut you. And it just they grow together. They figure out a way to heal and become one.
It's really cool.
Which is whenever you tie it to covenant, it makes me think of marriage, because you are essentially two becoming one. Like, grafting is a really good picture of that, because it becomes an indistinguishable part of that plant. But it was two completely separate things before that,
right?
You know, the grafting. So
yeah, super cool. Yeah. So we're not grafted in the Mosaic covenant. We are grafted into that covenant that God made with Abraham, the covenant God made with David.
Right.
And that's where some people get mixed up, and it's connected to this idea of pruning it down, mm-hmm. is because some people think, oh, well, God got rid of Israel and the church has replaced Israel. That's, some people call it replacement theology.
Sure.
And there's some great Christians who believe this. And I think the Bible paints a different picture with this idea of grafting, where people think, oh, that's old covenant, we don't need to go back to the old covenant. And it's like, well, the Mosaic covenant with all the laws and the Levitical priesthood, yes, we don't need to go back to that, but we do need to go back to the covenant God made with Abraham and David, because that still stands, and God's still working out those covenants and fulfilling that. And there's still promises yet to come related to that.
Yeah.
And that's what we get grafted into. And that's why some people kind of get mixed up, and because they think, oh, you just toss out the Old Testament and the old covenant and all that. Right. It's like, you have to understand these different covenants.
Yeah.
But I think part of the reason when you use this analogy is that Israel got chopped down. And so it's very easy to think in terms of this analogy that oh, well, it's dead. Like, Israel's dead. Israel's gone. God's done with it, because it's, and then you attach Gentiles on top, and then it almost, what you're seeing grow on top is this Gentile
church. The fruit looks Gentile, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're seeing, oh, well, all the people that are getting saved, I guess, are Gentiles, so that God must be done with Israel. And he actually says in Romans 11, verse 25, that God hardened the hearts of Israel. There's a partial hardening, is what he says, for many of the Jews, until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So that's what's growing right now. But we got to remember, the root stock is Israel. That's the root of it. So it's very easy to me to see how even people in the early church would look at what's happening. And the temple gets destroyed in AD 70, and they go, wow, God must be totally done with Israel. But he's not. There's that rootstock that's still alive.
Right.
And we just got grafted in. And Paul says some of the Gentile branches might get chopped off too if they stop believing.
Right.
And some of the Jewish branches that got chopped off can get grafted, can get grafted back in too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's literally how things work in natural, but at least spiritually it can work.
Right. So, no, it would be a miraculous thing in the natural to cut off a branch, let it harden, and then graft it back in. You know, that would not be something that we could do, but it's clearly something that God can do.
Yeah.
And it's obviously something that God was desiring, because that's what Paul is saying. Like, the whole point, like, don't get cocky, don't get arrogant, because you can get cut off just as easy. And also the point of me reaching all of you and bringing all of you in is to make them jealous, because he wants them back.
Right.
You know, not to say that, like, you know, that Jewish people are more important or whatever. Right. But he is very clearly like, hey, like, my heart and all this, my heart in seeing you guys know God is to make, like, to woo them back, to be like, oh, wait, that's our rootstock. Like, why are they, you know, getting all the fruit off this rootstock? So, yeah, I mean, that seems pretty clear. Like, his heart is still in the rootstock there. And like, the shoot that comes off of that would look like David, would, you know, it would look like Abraham. It would not necessarily look like us.
Yeah, for sure. It's not that if you're Jewish, you're automatically saved. That's not what we're saying. Right. You have to believe in Jesus. Everyone, that's the only way to salvation. You have to have faith.
Like, he was their Messiah.
He was there. He's a Jewish Messiah.
He was the Messiah sent to them. Yeah.
And so there were those who looked forward in faith. That's putting their faith in Jesus, even though they didn't know his name yet. And there's those now that he's come who have faith in Jesus, and those that don't. But yeah, like you said, that's exactly right. The Gentile branches flourish and talks about the fullness of the Gentiles. Jesus talks about in Matthew 24:14, the gospel going to the ends of the earth, to all the nations, and then the end will come. And then Paul says, there's going to come a point, verse 26, where all of Israel will be saved.
Yeah.
So that's what the Jews being provoked to jealousy.
Yeah.
The Gentiles come in, like you said, they go, oh, wait a second. This is our promise. This is our covenant. Like, this is our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And then that provokes the Jews to jealousy. And then all of Israel will be saved. And some people say, does that mean all the Jewish people on the earth in that moment will be saved? Like, maybe so.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, the idea of grafting back in a branch that has dried out is a miraculous thing. The idea of every Jewish person on the planet at once, like recognizing Jesus, would be a miraculous thing. But like, if that's the analogy that he's using, that I can let a branch get cut off, fall down and harden, and then I can graft it back in and it'll start bearing fruit again. Right. Then he's obviously saying, like, this is not going to be something that you could do, you know, in your human effort. Like, it's not something that should work. It's a very, like, resurrection-y process.
Very much.
So.
Yeah, and this whole, I mean, Romans 9 through 11, Calvinists love it because it's very much about the sovereignty of God. This is a sovereign thing God's doing.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, Calvinists take it and apply it personally, but Paul's really talking about it corporately, you know, that sovereignly God is going to, he's hardened Israel, but he will bring them back to life and do a miracle and save them before he comes again, which is an incredible story that he's going to do that.
Yeah.
To me, this is why the Great Commission is urgent, you know, Matthew 24:14, because God loves the Jewish people.
Yeah.
He loves them. But part of how we get to the point of their hearts softening is seeing the nations worship Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we've got to be about the Great Commission. We've got to be about the nations, praying for the nations, praying for the unreached people groups, going if God tells us to go, sending money if God tells us to give, and doing the same thing for the Jewish people, you know, because there's a partial hardening, but there's also a lot of them getting saved.
Yeah.
There's a big messianic Jewish movement where many of them have accepted Yeshua, Jesus, as their Savior. So good. Well, any other thoughts, closing thoughts on this? Grafting, anything we missed?
I don't think so. I don't even think I caught the covenant being like marriage and becoming one, you know, like physical thing last time, which is good to me since I like being married.
Me too.
The passage with Paul, like you can hear his, I feel like Paul just communicated in such an honest way. Like he was not trying to pretend like, yes, Gentiles, buddy Jesus, here we go. It's about you now. You know, like he was very openly like, these are his people and he wants them back so bad.
Yes.
And you are like blessed to be used in that process. Mm-hmm. You know, like don't get stuck up about it and look down on Israel because they rejected Jesus, because you're just part of the process here to, you know, for him to keep his promise and get them back. So. Yep.
So good. It's really cool. Having the big picture story helps us to know that we're a part of it. Our little decisions are a part of this big story. I mean, sometimes I liken it to like a puzzle where it's like you have the big puzzle and you can see it, but if you take out just one piece and look at it, that piece doesn't make a whole lot of sense like on itself. It's just a few little splotches of color or something. But when you know what the whole picture is supposed to look like, you go, oh, this piece is important because it fits in right there. And so when we understand God's story and his narrative, we go, oh, this is what's happening. And all of my little prayers and my little efforts at seeing God's kingdom move forward, like this is all helping with this grafting in and this, the fullness of the Gentiles and all Israel be saved. Like we actually are in participating in that. And that's cool.
Yeah. It's like the videos that people make where like the caption is always like, you got to trust the process. And it looks like they're like just splattering paint onto things or just like doing splotches or squares or whatever. And you're just like, okay, all right. But when you zoom out from the little splotch, like, okay, this is like the most beautiful painting I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And an artist understands, you know, that process and how like, and this looks like little blobs of black here, but this is going to make it look like an actual real life human eyeball. And like, you know, like it's going to look like better than a photograph of a human eyeball.
Yeah.
And it starts as like these blobs of what seem like, okay, great, like a toddler could do this, you know, which is sometimes what it feels like when we're trying to be a part of the process with Jesus. Like Jesus, a toddler, could do this, like honestly. Yeah. And then, you know, he can pull us back and zoom out on the whole picture.
Yeah. You know, like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, we're going to have a part two. It's not going to be Shepherd and I, but we're going to have some kind of part two specifically about Israel to dive more into that for those who are curious.
Yeah.
Maybe some of this is new for you, how to pray for Israel, more of understanding God's purposes for the Jewish people. And so we'll have the link to that in the show notes, in the description. So be sure to click that if you want to check out part two. It's a bonus episode, so it's just for our paid subscribers.
Ooh.
And so if you're not a paid subscriber yet, now is the time. It's very cheap. You can pay by the month a little bit, or you can go ahead and pay for the year. And you'll get access to bonus episodes for the podcast, including all the ones we've already recorded, extra articles in your email inbox to help you, and free access to my Enjoying Prayer course.
Which is crazy.
And so it's a great deal. So we'd love to have you sign up, become a paid subscriber. Thanks for tuning in today, everybody. Don't forget, God's presence changes everything.